section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Mark, the best podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. On today's show, we have Aaron, Roger, and Doug to join me as we discuss this month's view from the turnbuckle. So, Aaron, WWE announces probably the greatest name for a pay-per-view ever. What's it called?
Great Balls of Fire.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm sure, like everyone, when they heard the name, they were just like, really? Like, that's what you're going to call this pay-per-view? The thing that struck me the most, and this was things that a lot of people had brought up, are the promos leading up to it. Of course, they say at WWE Backlash, you know, at WWE WrestleMania. And they're going to say at WWE's Great Balls of Fire. Like, how is that going to get over, like, with the fan? Like, when you hear that, when you hear at the Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view or at the Great Balls of Fire show, that just to me sounds idiotic. And it's one of those, I think somebody in a planning meeting said, oh, I don't know, Great Balls of Fire, ha ha ha. And Vince or somebody else like Kevin Dunn was like, you know what? That's a great idea. Let's go with Great Balls of Fire. Let's use that as the pay-per-view name.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously it's stupid. And the only thing I can think is that Ric Flair has mentioned, if you've ever heard any of his interviews about the origins of Woo, is that it came from the song, you know, Great Balls of Fire by Jerry Lee Lewis. And, you know, he says Woo at some point, and that's where Flair got the idea from. So I don't know. Maybe Vince thinks that's some sort of connection, but I just can't imagine, you know, yeah, Brock at Great Balls of Fire, I'm taking the championship from you. Like, I'm just going to laugh. Like, it sounds ridiculous. It sounds stupid for wrestling. Like, suspending disbelief is one thing, right? We accept that Bray Wyatt has spooky powers and The Undertaker's an undead zombie, but this just sounds dumb. I think this is a mistake, and I hope they change the name. They probably won't, but go with the Bash for all I care. Just do something not this dumb.
When I found out about the title change of the pay-per-view, you know, it really shook my nerves and it rattled my brain. This kind of name could drive a man insane. It broke my will, but I think it could be a thrill. I mean, for goodness gracious. I mean, Great Balls of Fire?
That might be the best thing I've ever heard.
That's all the time we have for this month's show.
That's the promo for this week's show. We'll just leave it at that. Can't beat that whatsoever. Oh my gosh, that's a good talk.
That was almost as good as when Aaron implemented the Steiner promo into one of our shows, and that was probably the greatest one ever. That was good, Doug.
Thank you.
Geez, and of course, Stream Rules will be the next Raw pay-per-view. That's in June, in what, like 7 weeks or whatever it is. So, yeah, lots of pay-per-views.
4 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, let's just talk about what's going on with the Universal title. So, Brock Lesnar will not actually defend their title, the Universal title, until Great Balls of Fire. Now, Roger, do you think Brock's opponent will be Finn, or do you think it'll be Seth?
Neither. I don't think either one of them will be the opponent at Great Balls of Fire. I think it'll be Braun Strowman. I think he's kind of the perfect type of person for Brock to fight first. You know, I think Braun could potentially even win this feud with Reigns. I doubt it, but I could see him being like the first guy that Brock goes over to continue to make him look strong, because obviously we're going to make Brock look as strong as possible for Roman to beat. I don't necessarily Finn Balor and Brock Lesnar just doesn't, as much as that match would be fun, there's no way that I see Finn Balor beating Brock Lesnar. He's just too small, and he has not been built up enough yet to reasonably be able to step into the ring and take out Lesnar. Seth Rollins could, though. I mean, if they keep playing up this knee injury where he's the one-legged guy, and they seem to be really harping on that, you're not going to go into a contest with Brock Lesnar and beat him with one leg. It's hard enough to beat him with two healthy legs. So I still think it's Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman. I actually don't mind Brock being off TV and not defending it for a while. The only thing that bothers me about this is that they haven't really put any focus on the number one contender yet. To me, this is, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, this is where King of the Ring tournament could have been implemented, have a number one contender type shot that is defended at, you know, Extreme Rules and was at Payback, so that, you know, it's something that is important and is being fought for, so that when Brock does show up, you have somebody who's been built up to be a worthy challenger.
Yeah, and I concur with you, Roger. I think that in particular with this, I think that they are grooming Strowman to be that guy. I actually think that Strowman is going to win the feud. I think that that's the best route to go as well, because I think Strowman has had an amazing month. I think the month of April for him has been just really, really great. Had he lost that match against Roman Reigns, I would have probably flipped my lid. I mean, it would have gotten to the point where I would have wanted to quit WWE. Like that's how bad it would have been based on that storytelling. Like Braun had to win. With that said, Braun versus Lesnar actually has me pretty excited. Like that match alone, it's not going to be a technical feat. It's not going to be anything, you know, that you're like, oh my God, this is a 5-star match. It's the match that you see when you want to see Mike Tyson take on Buster Douglas. You know, it is the match that you want to see when you just want to see two people just throw haymakers in the ring. That is what this match will be. And if they put a good undercard around it, I actually think that they could make Great Balls of Fire, as terrible of a name as it sounds, a really great pay-per-view. I am curious if Finn or Seth are going to be thrown into the mix, though. But I do agree with you. I think that it will be Braun as the main guy, as the main focus for Lesnar and for that title.
And it should be Braun. I mean, if you're going to go with anybody, I mean, Finn or Seth, both of them have come off some pretty bad injuries recently and haven't. I mean, Finn, with that possible concussion and everything, do you really want to put him into a program with Brock Lesnar, knowing that he has a great future in the WWE? You might want to protect him for a little bit longer than the, what, couple months that he's going to be promoting for. Same thing with Seth. You want to go for the long haul. Braun should be the person that gets it. I think at the next Raw pay-per-view, they should have Braun Roman again. Braun should go over again for the number one contendership. Finn versus what could be Bray Wyatt, the Demon, versus the Bray, I think is a great setup. Seth versus Samoa Joe still is a good feud. Keep them going on their things and let the big guys clash. You know, maybe a Clash of Titans almost.
That's a better pay-per-view name than Great Balls of Fire. A Clash of the Titans would be fine.
Wait a minute. Wasn't that a WCW pay-per-view?
Clash of the Champions. Which, isn't that now a WWE pay-per-view?
Clash of Champions.
Oh, I'm sorry. They changed the duh.
Get the out.
Oh, my gosh.
Wasn't it Night of Champions at one point?
It was Night of Champions, yeah.
I prepared.
Unbelievable. So with you know, we brought Braun, of course, and, you know, Aaron, you did mention that he just took over April. I mean, I think that Braun Strowman looks better now than he has, I would say, in the last year that he's been in the WWE. I think they've booked him properly for once, which is something that they have not been doing, but he looks good. I like the spot that he had with Big Show as well. Anytime the ring breaks, it's always awesome. I thought it was really weird, though, that they never had those LED boards out. And then all of a sudden, after it was all said and done, you're like, oh, crap, that's why. Mm-hmm. But I give it credit to the ref, who took probably the hardest bump of any of them. He's like, oh, just fall out here. Oh, crap, I'm on the ring. But yeah, so that. Yeah.
I will say I think Braun probably should have won the Battle Royal. The Andre, because I think that would have segued into a perfect feud with Big Show. They would be both former winners. It continues tradition of big guys winning. You could have Strowman call himself the greatest big man of all time. So that way Show would feel that as disrespect. And, you know, there would have been something more while Roman was gone. And also would have been another way to make Braun look really strong, because, again, April was fantastic for him. But that's not going to do anything for Mojo Rawley, whereas it could have done something for Braun.
Yeah, and the whole thing with Mojo, I mean, it seems like a broken record, but the only thing they did this, so it was clickbait. So then you saw Gronk, and then Jinder, and Mojo, and then, you know, that's how it worked out. But, yeah, overall, but yeah, I think Braun's had a great month. You know, what else can we say besides the Hardys are back? And, Doug, what are your thoughts on the Hardys taking on Cesaro and Sheamus at Payback?
I was kind of interested in this, and I was actually for a second thinking about picking Cesaro and Sheamus just because of the setup to the pay-per-view. Saw both Hardys win single competition, and usually when that happens, that means they're going to lose at the pay-per-view. But that didn't happen. You did see the Hardys retain. Both Cesaro and Sheamus went up and shook their hands. Everything was great, except for Jeff lost a tooth or two or three. I don't remember how many exactly, but you know, he's not going to smile for a while. But then you had the turn of Cesaro and Sheamus, which, you know what? It's great storytelling. I thought that was an excellent time to have them turn. A lot of people are still, I think, going to cheer for Cesaro, but you know, Sheamus is better as a heel. So overall, I thought this was a great storytelling match and continues the feud. And I'm still looking forward to it because now we're going to see heel Cesaro and Sheamus versus the Hardys.
I feel a little bit bad for Enzo and Cass, as I feel like they kind of got their spot stolen. Like, I think a lot of us thought Enzo and Cass were going to win at Mania, and then the Hardys came back and won it. And then Sheamus and Cesaro had a really smart, logical promo about how they felt like that their moment to shine had been stolen by the Hardys and Nostalgia Act. And it was all very logical. It was one of those things where I was like, it felt like this was Sheamus and Cesaro speaking for Enzo and Cass. And that's a very minor gripe, but I think Cesaro and Sheamus will work better as a heel team. You know, the club is going to get pushed down now to the number two team. I wonder what this means for the Revival when they come back, because obviously now something's got to be done with them. But looking, you know, going forward, not so bad. I think these two can have a good series. I actually see potentially Cesaro and Sheamus getting another run with the titles, and this time maybe as a heel. You know, it could be interesting.
The thing I'm kind of curious about is, are they going to take the titles and maybe turn Matt to be broken Matt Hardy, like them losing the titles breaks him maybe. And so Matt then goes on his broken tirade. Is that something that you potentially see happening, Andy?
That's a great question, because, you know, there are shades of that on Payback, because they kept, you know, breaking them in quotes, if you want to say that. And now that Matt Hardy is more talking how he was talking when he was in the, you know, the other organization, it makes it sound like that's the direction they're going with this. And I think it's kind of nice, because then you can have them go away, and then you have Jeff B singles and Matt B, you know, do his broken gimmick. And I think that'll succeed in the WWE. I just hope that they continue to use Matt's formula opposed to basically what they're doing with Bray Wyatt. Basically, it's Bray Wyatt's ripping off broken Matt Hardy, which they could probably do something really like crazy where they could either pair those two guys up, or Matt can just be by himself and be, I think, a successful single star, because I believe that they want Jeff in the main event right off the bat and Matt to be upper mid card, which I think can work in this case. Whether or not Matt is, you know, main eventer, you know, that's something we'll have to see depending on how the universe actually takes to the character.
Yeah, I don't know how they will, but it'll be, you know, so far they seem to like it. They do the delete, you know, which obviously is not something that WWE is doing. You know, that was in TNA and that was in Ring of Honor. So, you know, we'll see if it becomes a bigger thing. Now, the IC title was not defended at the pay-per-view, but it looks like it will be defended at Extreme Rules. And Miz won a number one contendership on Raw against Finn and against Seth, which was very surprising, but there was interference, of course. Miz taking on Ambrose, a continuation of their feud from SmackDown. Roger, do you think that this is a good route for them to go to continue a SmackDown feud onto Raw?
Normally, I would say yes. However, and correct me if I'm mistaken, the origin of this feud was based around Miz insulting Renee Young.
Yep.
Renee Young is on SmackDown. This is a Raw feud. And granted, I get that they're feuding over the IC title, but we already saw this. I think Ambrose beat Miz convincingly. So I'm not really sure if this is the right move for either of these guys' characters. I think both of them probably could have used a fresh dance partner. The match will be fine. I actually kind of see Miz winning and Ambrose probably maybe getting elevated back into that main event scene, because I don't know if they have a ton of faces, I guess, to say that are credible who can put over some heels. Maybe even Ambrose goes heel. I like the idea of Seth actually winning, just because I thought Dean versus Seth could have been very fun, but I understand why each one of them got interfered against. I just, Ambrose, Miz, like, is there something new that you can add to this dynamic? And I don't want this to turn into what Miz and Ziggler was, which is Ambrose keeps losing because of Maryse. Like, I already saw that feud, right? It was fun when they both had, you know, females in their corner because you could do something with the back and forth, but then they blew that on Cena. So it was like, I just don't know if WWE has a plan for Miz and Ambrose outside of just the same old tag against each other, interfere in each other's matches, have a match, blah, 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 you know, same old, same old. So let's see where the story goes. But I'm not super optimistic about this.
WWE has a future plan for all their feuds? Man, I've never heard of anything like that before.
You guys keep talking like Raw and SmackDown are like on the same company or something. This is two different brands, people. Just because it worked over there should mean it works over here. People who watch Raw don't watch SmackDown, and people who watch SmackDown don't watch Raw. This is completely new to the Raw market.
You know what the funny part is? Wouldn't it be hilarious if SmackDown actually beat them this week? That would be hilarious.
I hope they do.
Because Raw, I don't even have to watch Raw. I can just read what happened, and we're like, yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, the only thing that would probably be interesting from hearing what you guys said was the whole thing with Alexa Bliss, what happened with that. That actually, I'm going to have to go back and watch. But
The thing about Raw is that it has its moments. You know, 3 hours is too long, you know, and we've harped on that a ton. But with the 3-hour format, you know, of course you can see it on Hulu and they tend to have the best parts in there, but they do sometimes cut things out. And you know, like with the Roman Reigns promo where they booed him for 5 minutes, the Hulu, unfortunately, it didn't have it for 5 straight minutes. You know, it only showed it for like, you know, 30 seconds or so, which is unfortunate because that was a very important part. And I haven't seen the Hulu for this week. I don't know what they are doing with Alexa Bliss, if they're going to show her entire promo. They did. Very good.
Okay. I watched the Hulu version. The Alexa Bliss promo is not cut from what my understanding is.
Perfect. Because it was a good promo. They did a good job. There are parts of Raw that are very watchable, but the downside is it's, you know, it's 3 hours and most people don't have the 3 hours to sit there. So, you know, hopefully with SmackDown, with a good tight 2 hours, which typically every week, I would say it is a good show. You know, SmackDown isn't, you know, can't miss, but it's, you know, it's definitely very, very worthwhile to watch, you know, as opposed to Raw.
All right. So, you know, talking about the U.S. title, and this is another thing that doesn't make sense to me, is how you have basically a SmackDown guy and a Raw guy going against each other. And then they threw in the stipulation of if Jericho wins, he moves to SmackDown, which actually I'm glad they put that in there because that changed how I was going to for my picks on this pay-per-view. So, of course, Jericho wins the title. I thought this was arguably the match of the night because it just seemed put together real well. And those guys seem to work really well in the ring. And I think they say, you know, if you're friends with a person, usually they work great together in the ring as well. But of course, Jericho wins. They're going over to SmackDown now. So you have Jericho taking on Owens, you know, again on SmackDown. So, Aaron, what were the results of the match on SmackDown?
Yeah, so Owens won the title back from Jericho 2 nights later. And, you know, it's surprise booking, which is fine, but I would have much rather had Jericho retain again, and then maybe, you know, they have a final match and it's a, like, look, you know, whoever wins, this is it. We're not going to have another match because I really, really hope that they don't do another, you know, match of this. I like these two. These two have had a good match, and this is only their second one they've had, but if you see the same match, you know, 3 times within the span of, or I guess 4 times it would be, if you see it 4 times within the span of a month, guess what? The match isn't important anymore. You know, you want to try to keep them apart as much as possible. So I hope that they don't have another rebound match.
This will be, and on, I think WWE, this is how their creative works, is week to week. Because when this match was first announced for the pay-per-view, it was the winner gets to go to SmackDown. Not that both of them are going to go to SmackDown. And then you have, all of a sudden, I think it was last week, Tom Phillips announces that if Jericho wins, he gets to come to SmackDown, implying that Owens would stay there regardless. That to me thought, you know, I was like, when it came to Pickhams, it's like, oh, okay. I thought about like it, but it was too much of a, you know, they should just are they really going to give it to Y2J for what, 2 days? Because as soon as he won, I knew that he would win it back at SmackDown. That was not a surprise move anymore. I will say that it did help the pay-per-view because it was one of those things that is like, oh, this is the most obvious thing in the world. Kevin Owens is going to win because Y2J is going to go on tour with Fozzy. I didn't get to see the match today, but from everything that I read, it looks like Jericho is now injured and he's going to be going on tour with Fozzy. So, yeah, we'll get to see it, you know, maybe SummerSlam or later this summer he comes back and all of a sudden now he wants his rematch. That'll spark up the feud again. You know, we'll see what happens at that point. But overall, it was a nice surprise. I think this is one of those things where WWE also goes, we think that this is too predictable, so we're going to do exactly the opposite just to try to get everybody to not think about that. So we'll see what it goes on. I'd rather see Owens versus AJ Styles, which seems like the feud that's going to be setting up. So I'm excited about that.
For one, I agree with Andy. This was a great match. This was the match that I expected them to have at WrestleMania. I thought this was much better worked and far more entertaining, especially with Jericho. I don't want to say he was acting like a heel, but he was more vicious. Like, he seemed like a guy who had been betrayed and he was out for a little bit of blood. Like, after he, you know, when he started the finger, like, I thought that was a great spot of them going back to that. And he was going, you know what, I'm sick of your hand. And he just starts viciously attacking. I was like, that was the Jericho that I kind of wanted to see, like a blood feud, right? These two are going at it. When Phillips made the change, I was like, that's a little strange. To me, I think this was an example of like lazy booking. Like, you could have had Jericho win at Payback and then Owens viciously attack him after the match one more time and he injures him there and then the title's vacant and then you have Owens versus Styles at the next pay-per-view and then Jericho comes back down the road. Because I don't like back and forth. You know, I hated it when they did this with Kalisto and Del Rio where they were just swapping the title back and forth. I don't like, you know, championships like this shouldn't go back and forth. The Cruiserweight Championship, you can do that with. If you have a television, a European Championship, you can do that with. Your big titles should not do this. And to Aaron's point, you know, look at Charlotte versus Sasha. That match was fine the first time, the second time. By the time we saw it seven times, we were sick of it. Owens and Jericho, we've already seen it now, what, three times? That'll be the fourth match when they do the rematch. Don't overdo it. You know, sometimes less is more. Keep them apart. Owens Styles is going to be a lot better in the sense of, you know, those two both can go. You give them 15 to 20 minutes, that's your match of the night, especially if you give them a stipulation. So I think the Face of America is kind of a cool thing with Owens. I like his new Titantron and like the little graphics they have with Owens with the smirk. So I'm happy to see what this is going forward. Jericho and SmackDown should be really good. Raw's going to get worse, but Jericho and SmackDown could be really good.
Now, what did you think about the House of Horrors match that they had on that was pre-taped, of course, at the pay-per-view? What'd you think of it?
I don't know how many different ways I can use the word stupid without going into different languages, but the first part of that match was dumb. Like, to me, on a pay-per-view, if I paid for a ticket, I did not come to watch a pre-taped segment of a match. Like, that's fine for a television show, for Raw, for SmackDown, for Main Event, NXT, whatever. That whole House of Horrors thing, like, it was just a no disqualification match. That's all it was. There was nothing special about it. It was what were they in, like an empty house? It wasn't even obviously the house that Orton burned down. So it was just the little graphics that Bray displayed all over the ring at WrestleMania would have actually fit this match better. Like, if Orton would go into a room and then just one room popped up and there was just maggots everywhere and then Orton was a little creeped out. And then he goes into another one and it's, you know, one of the other pictures. And, you know, maybe he shows a graphic of Sister Abigail or, like, the house burning down. Like, so he's actually messing with him. Because, like, what about that house was really terrifying other than just they fought in an empty house? Like, he saw Triple H jump in, like, this 8 years ago. Like, it was for kids. The only person who was scared was somebody who still thinks the boogeyman's real.
I was so blown away by this because to Roger's point earlier about, you know, Undertaker and Bray Wyatt and all that stuff. Right. I get that. But you have a man drive up in a limo to this secluded house. It is pitch dark. It's like limo driver here. Yeah. Take me here. You know, like that's weird. It's pitch dark out. When it's 6 o'clock on the West Coast, okay? Why, I don't understand that. You know, like, I don't get that. So there's that. and then he goes in. Like, why even go in? Like I don't.
Why doesn't he just go in and then run back into the vehicle and be like, beat him?
Yeah, like, I don't get
it. Why does he just burn the house down? You know Bray's inside. Yeah. You win by forfeiture because I burned you alive. It's a buried alive match.
And the point of this match is it starts at the house and ends in the ring. So he could go into the house and then just leave and go back to the ring. It made no sense. I get that they're trying some new things, and I'm probably in the minority. I actually like the, you know, little holograms or, you know, the video projector that they did at WrestleMania, because it was taking a, you know, like, that actually kind of fits Bray's character a little bit. You don't do it every time, you know, you don't probably don't need to do it every pay-per-view, but I actually was in the minority, and I think it was kind of neat. I like Roger's point. You could potentially have that in the house, you know, but the match was useless. It was pointless. And I actually think that Bray came out looking worse from this match that they did, because of the fact that he had to have three people interfere in order for him to get a win. That does not that doesn't make him look good. And, you know, they're potentially grooming him for a feud with Finn Balor. I don't believe that. I mean, right now, Bray Wyatt, you're really selling him as a lower mid-card guy, in my opinion. And he's going to be taking on an upper mid-card guy. I don't see that. I really don't. So, Doug, I'm sure you have a lot to say about the House of Horrors match. But definitely give us your thoughts. And then after that, I really want to have a discussion about Finn and Bray, because I want to know what everyone else's thoughts are on that.
I think that the setup of the match and the knowledge of it, nothing seemed logical in this. And everything that you guys were pointing out, why does Randy even go into the house? If it's got to end in the ring, why not just, hey, limo driver, you know, call an Uber or something, just leave the house right away. Doesn't make sense. The other part that doesn't make sense is you've now left him in the house. You have how much time to recover? I mean, obviously, if he gets out from underneath the refrigerator that got dropped on him, he's got time to recover because he's still got to get to the arena and fight. That didn't make sense. Honestly, the only thing I think that could have helped this match and even the character of Bray is if he would have done his whole magic. Like, obviously, I think in the arena, they were all watching this probably under no light, because they're all watching the big screen. No one's paying attention to the ring. Why not have this pre-taped stuff and then do the whole Bray Wyatt, you know, phase in, and then phases all of a sudden here he is in the ring with Randy because of, quote unquote, his magic or his black magic or something along those lines. The limo part just absolutely, I mean, it killed it for me. Every imagination or any logic or anything like that, just it absolutely killed it for me. It made no sense, no logical sense, nothing. It just became so stupid that I couldn't even enjoy it. And then I was hindered by Jinder because I was the only one that went with RKO, thinking that they should clearly not let their champion. Again, let's go to booking the match and saying it's for the title, and then all of a sudden, let's just not mention the title anymore. Let's not mention that it's not a title match, but let's mention that it's not. Honestly, I would have loved it more if they would have said it was for the title, and then it made sense why Jinder took the title. So technically, yes, Bray could have won, been the quote-unquote named champion, but Jinder still has the title on SmackDown. I thought that would have made more sense, let at least the imagination, another surprise, you know, that Bray would actually have won, but Jinder still has the title and he's never given it up. I like that angle a little bit better. A lot of things that could have made more logical sense or been, I don't even know why they call them WWE creative when they're not creative at all.
Now, with that said, what do you think, though, about Bray and Finn? Because obviously Bray attacked him on Raw, so they're building towards a pay-per-view here with them two. Do you think that Bray's even a credible threat?
Yes and no. He still won the match. He still beat a champion. He still could say, I beat the SmackDown champion. I should be in line for the Raw champion. Yes, he used the help of, you know, the Bollywood boys or whatever you're calling them now, the Singh brothers or something like that. But this is another match that I think could have been set up great, because I like the idea of, and hopefully they book it this way, where Finn actually loses the first one and has to rely on the demon in order to beat Bray. So that's what I hope they do with it. I think it's a great idea because you still have the whole thing. But like I said, if you would have done the magic aspect where they just all of a sudden appear in the ring, giving Bray mystical, magical, black magic powers, that seems a little bit more intimidating and a good arc to go with the demon, like saying Bray could control the demon or something along those lines would be fun. But because this made no logical sense and everything, like it just killed everything. I also just don't like the snap. Okay, we're just going to throw you guys into a feud. I think it could have been set up a lot better.
So without getting on a tangent, the problem with Bray Wyatt is that his feud with Orton ultimately was poorly booked because it involved the title. The title had no business being there. Randy Orton hatched this plan long before Bray was ever even close to the championship. So for his logical end game was that he was going to win the Rumble and steal a championship from a guy who didn't have a championship 5 months before and had no championship shot in sight. Never made sense in the first place. B, it took away any disbelief that he was going to win at WrestleMania, when in reality, what Bray needed the most going into the 2017 calendar year was a big feud win. He's basically never won a feud with anyone that's mattered. The only person I think that he's beat in a feud, like a long-term feud, was Dean Ambrose. So he still looks like a joke. Now, I think there's a lot of cool ideas that we've all tossed around. You know, the idea of Finn has to rely on the demon to beat Bray, or maybe Bray can control the demon. Though, of course, if Bray had these souped up powers, why did he get chumped out by Orton in 10 minutes, even though he could project maggots into the ring? So, so there's problem number one with even Doug's scenario, right? Oh, Finn needs to rely on the demon to beat Bray Wyatt, but he beat Roman Reigns, the all-powered superhero mighty god, without even being the demon. So you're going to tell me that Finn Balor has to resort to deeper tactics to beat Bray Wyatt than he did have to beat Roman Reigns? That's not going to happen. And number two, Bray Wyatt always loses. Like, I mean, he's a spooky Jericho 2 years ago, right? Like, Wyatt always gets chumped out in the end. He won the Elimination Chamber, which was fantastic, and we were like, this is the start of a new Bray Wyatt. And then over the next two pay-per-views, he has looked maybe weaker than he has looked for the past 3 years. Like, he just he cannot win. So moving forward, look, Finn Balor is one of their top guys. So to me, I just don't see them elevating Bray. I just see Balor jobbing him out, which is a shame because I think the two could have a good feud and great matches. But it's like, if Wyatt wins, it makes Balor look bad. There's nothing to be gained from Finn putting him over because he can't elevate him enough to make him look credible again. So the only logical move for them is for Finn to just keep beating him every time. And, you know, I understand why they want to push Roman. But if you had Bray be the one to retire The Undertaker and absorb his power, oh my gosh, you have a new monster for Roman to take down eventually, or you have a new monster for Finn to take down. But because you refuse to really get behind this Bray Wyatt character and you kneecap him every single time he's about to do something good, you can't even use him anymore to put anyone over. So it's like the promos will be cool, but we know who's going to win. And the thing is also, and this is the real bigger point, the Wyatt family started 4 or 5 years ago. If you're a cult leader, the thing that you do is recruit people into your cult. And he's recruited two people into his cult. Daniel Bryan, who ultimately turned on him and was just there to stab him in the back, and Randy Orton, who was ultimately just there to stab him in the back. Where are the extra minions and people who believe in his message following him around? You had a House of Horrors match. Why didn't you summon all those people who attacked Randy randomly on an episode of SmackDown to beat the crap out of Orton while you took off and went back to the ring? It's just, come on. Like, think about this stuff.
Unless they're going to somehow tie it, and this is going to happen now. Somehow they're going to tie it into Braun Strowman doing so well and becoming the monster that he is. It's going to turn out that Bray is the one who's been able to do that. That's why he's been so unstoppable recently, and how he was able to get up from the ring breaking, and how he was able to take down Roman Reigns, and no matter what Reigns threw at him, he was able to beat him. That's what I think they're really going at this point with this, which is really, really sad, but knowing Dirty Creative, they probably don't have the end game yet, but they're like, let's do this for the time being. But yeah, I completely agree. The whole thing with Bray, they are booking him. He was starting to get booked properly, and then it's almost like they're like, hey, yeah, you're booking Bray too well, so what we're going to do is we're going to move into Raw, and then we're going to basically bury him to the mid-card and not really do anything with him, even though, you know, he still has Gosh, it's not Luke Harper. Who's Rowan? Where's he at? Is he on Raw or is he on SmackDown? Is he going to follow?
He's been on SmackDown as of late, but we could do a whole section on how they should have booked Bray, the WWE title, Randy Orton, you know, leading up to, because we have the climax at WrestleMania, and I just feel like they just did a big disservice to everybody involved, and I don't want to go on too long of a rant, so I'm gonna cap it here, but Bray versus Finn at Extreme Rules, it'll be interesting to see. And speaking of which, we actually we have a few matches for Extreme Rules rumored or possibly announced. But before we get to that, Andy, why don't you thank our sponsor?
HostGator, are you a blogger or podcaster? Or are you just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free zip builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to see big on items from WWE Shop. .com. So Extreme Rules, though, you know, right now some of the matches, I don't want to see Austin Aries versus Neville again. I've seen that before. Why are they even bothering having that on there, Aaron?
Well, it'd be the third time that they've wrestled, although to be fair, they have at least spaced it out. They had the WrestleMania match, they had the one at a Payback, and now they're going to have it at Extreme Rules, so at least they spaced it out, which is pretty nice. We had Austin Aries win by DQ, so this is going to be probably their final match. This is where Austin Aries is most likely going to win. When we do our pick-ems, I'm assuming everyone is going to pick Aries for this one because of that. Because it's Extreme Rules, we're also going to notice that most of these are going to be rematches. The vast majority of them are. And it's probably going to be, hopefully, the final one in that series of matches, aside from Finn and Bray Wyatt. That's going to be the only brand new one. So that one will probably be a continuation. That one may not have a particular stipulation. Hopefully it's not House of Horrors. But so Austin Aries, I assume we'll probably win that one. We're also going to see Alexa Bliss taking on Bayley. That'll be the rematch most likely. Doug, your girlfriend on the side, do you see her potentially retaining, or do you see where they're going to do a back and forth here like they did before?
Let's wait to see what the stipulation is. I could see this one easily being another tables match where you can have that easy, oops, I slipped and fell onto the table and won. You know how Alexa won the first title from Becky. I'd like to see him stick with Alexa for right now. She is putting on great promos. She is taking the advice of even Stone Cold on how to defeat the what chance. She is doing a wonderful job on the mic and generating such great heat. She has played her character to a T. It's been wonderful watching her on TV. So it's not her just being great to look at, but actually even entertaining. So the Bayley thing, I was very shocked to see her. I thought they were setting up Alexa Bliss to be buried, actually, because I figured that this was the, oh, let's just give Alexa Bliss and then, Bayley gets a win. Let's see how long she holds it till SummerSlam. To see Bayley lose, very surprised. Maybe they kind of do a rebound with Bayley where they knock her down all the way back to the bottom and she then turns it around and gears it back up, and the next thing you know, maybe it's SummerSlam again, or maybe it's not even until next WrestleMania where she wins the title back.
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
Well, how often does the hometown hero actually win? Especially,
I was just about to say that the hometown, when I realized it was San Jose, I was like, I messed up. It was obvious that Bayley was going to lose because they always do that, right? I mean, Charlotte lost in Charlotte, Sasha lost in Boston. Of course, Bayley was going to lose in San Jose. It's like that's their thing. They're so predictable about it. I actually don't think it's going to be just Bayley and Alexa at Extreme Rules. I think they're going to throw Sasha and Nia into the mix, mostly because both of those two should be on the pay-per-view, but I don't want to see that match for the umpteenth time. We've already seen it enough times. We haven't seen a fiddle four-way between the four of them. I think the idea of like a no disqualification match, you know, because I think there's an interesting dynamic of like, oh, so will the three of them try to team up against Nia, but Alexa doesn't really have a beef with Nia, nor does she want to irritate Jack, so I think you can do some good things there. You have the tension between Bayley and Sasha. Obviously, I think we still think that's the SummerSlam match potentially between those two. So I think there's a lot of different storylines that are in play that those four women can all kind of intermingle throughout, you know, the next couple months. I actually am excited to see Neville versus Aries because I think they've done a good progression. Similar to Aaron's point about where they said they spaced it out, you know, in the first match, Neville had to cheat to win. But Aries, you know, kind of figured it out. And by match number two, Neville couldn't do anything. So the only thing he had left to do was to just grab the referee out of desperation and eat the loss for the first time since October. But he needed to retain his championship. And then, of course, you had TJP follow up and attack. So, you know, now you've got Neville literally saying, like, I accept that Aries is a threat. I'm going to take him out before he gets his shot. There's going to be a lot of rematches at this pay-per-view. The only thing I would question about this is that are there enough, like, the problem with Extreme Rules is that they always want to do gimmicks for all these matches. Well, how many of these matches really can do an entertaining gimmick? Like, I hated the tables match between Becky and Alexa. I thought it was boring. I thought the crowd was dead. Like, it's just, it's not. Tables matches are better when they're tag team matches because you have more action. You have more things you can do. It's just a faster pace. Who's going to do the ladder match here, right? Are you going to do Hardy's and Cesaro? Are they going to do that one? You know, who's going to do the stairs match or whatever stupid idea they decide to do? You know, Cage, Hell in a Cell. You know, that's the problem, right? They have all these gimmicks with, you know, you can't do Hell in a Cell because you got a pay-per-view. They can't do TLC because you have a pay-per-view for that. So I think, you know, their way to get around that is a lot of multi-man matches. Joe and Rollins probably will be submission. That would be my guess for that match.
Well, let's throw it out there then. You know, ladder match. We have potentially Aries and Neville or the Hardy Boys and Cesaro and
Sheamus. I think you'll see a ladder match with the Cruiserweights. But I think that you'll have a TLC with the Hardys and Cesaro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that could be a TLC. Alexa Bliss, Bayley, and if they add other
strap
people
match.
To it.
Strap match.
That could be a strap. Yeah, they could put one on, and that could be that type of a match. The Miz Ambrose, I'm assuming that'll probably be like a, you know, no holds barred, you know, no DQ, that sort of thing. I think
actually that should be Maurice in a ring cage because she has proven to be
a factor.
Yeah. On a pole, Finn and Bray, that one, you know, they could go a lot of different ways. It'd be the first one. So they could also choose not to do that, which would make it stand out. Rollins and Joe, I would cringe at that. Rollins, Joe, I agree with you. I think that'd be a perfect submission match. That'd be a good Extreme Rules. Braun and Roman.
No false. What? Any
false count anywhere?
False last count man standing.
Last man standing
is the perfect conclusion to this match. They've beaten each other.
Ambulance match?
They said ambulance match, but those matches are stupid. Like, they probably do that because that is the easier gimmick. But a last man standing match fits their feud. It is the last match they should do. They've been very physical with one another. They can, you know, Roman has basically gotten destroyed by Braun. So let either Braun finish the job and actually say, and I don't care if he duct tapes him to the ground. Like, you know, do whatever he needs to do, but say, like, you know, prove his physical dominance over Reigns. And then at the end of the pay-per-view, he says, I want Lesnar. Because that, to me, if you can beat Roman down for a 10 count, Brock could even show up at the end of the pay-per-view and goes, I have my challenger. Like, a worthy challenger has appeared. I will see you at Great Balls of Fire.
at the next Raw special attraction.
Like, not to go on that rant one more time, but I just can't even imagine Brock Lesnar saying that. Like, it just sounded stupid coming out of my mouth. Brock Lesnar's not going to say that. He's going to be like, yeah, I'll see you when you fight me for the title. Heyman. I don't think the Cruiserweights to get the ladder match because I think that's the tag match that kind of puts a little bow in their feud. I think the Cruiserweights will get some sort of no DQ in the sense of like, or what I do think might happen is that you may get a no champions advantage match. So if Neville gets himself counted out or has TJP interfere or hits the referee and gets disqualified, then it is Aries gets the championship. They could do Lumberjack. That's a good multi-man match to do that. I actually think the Lumberjack could be reserved for the women, though. That way you can get all the ladies on the outside. Miz Ambrose and Finn Bray are the two where I could see neither having a stipulation, or like I said before, you could have, you know, Miz and Ambrose could be in a House of Horrors, but it's like the John Cena house. So that could be their House of Horrors, where it's just the Cena house rules that they have to both conform to while trying to fight.
If they had a match like that, that would be genius. John Cena. Yes. That would be genius.
I mean, that would be funny. I'm sorry. Like, I get it. It would be stupid, but it would be hilarious to have, like, you know, you could even have dual Mizzes, right? But I had, like, Miz in the background. Like, every time that, you know, you're breaking house rule number 73, no suplexes, you know, like, you know, you can't hook the leg when you do a fisherman suplex. Like, it just, you know.
You can't pin a person in the NWO without hooking a leg.
Yeah. See? There you go.
Ambrose gets immediately disqualified for not taking his shoes off in the ring, you know. Rule number 32.
43. Yep.
You refuse to go in the cigar room. Yeah. They can.
Yeah, so but the pay-per-view itself, because we pretty much know most of the matches in advance. There obviously there could be some minor twists to them. They do have a 4-week build up to this. Do you think that that is enough time, Andy, you know, to have? I mean, it's about 4 weeks that they have to build up to the pay-per-view. Do you think that that's going to be enough for these matches?
I look at it that if I had to pay for these pay-per-views, you know, more than the $10 a month for the WWE Network, I don't think I would do it. I think this is where I'd draw the line. I'd be like, nope, I can't do it because I've already seen this. I don't care, because it's not like they're going to have something where, I don't know, like an Inferno match or like a Hell in the Cell or a cage. Well, they're probably gonna do a cage match now I think about it. Actually, a cage match with Aries and Neville would be really cool, but they won't do that though, because the Cruiserweights wouldn't then outshine them, of course. But yeah, I don't, you know, this pay-per-view, it's just kind of there for me. In fact, I'm still looking forward to the SmackDown. I'm looking forward to Backlash, because they're teasing, of course, Shinsuke Nakamura for his first like televised match on SmackDown TV, or pay-per-view TV, if you want to say that, if you have never watched NXT.
Now, Andy, you brought up an interesting point. So, Doug, I want to ask you this question. Andy had said, you know, he wouldn't have paid for, you know, really, he definitely wouldn't have paid for this upcoming pay-per-view. Looking back on this year, you know, are there any particular pay-per-views that you would have paid for, or, you know, in the reverse, not paid for?
Well, I went to the Royal Rumble. No, that was last year. No, not this year. Did I even go to pay-per-view this last year? I don't know. I've been to Extreme Rules before. And
but paid for the pay. I'm sorry, I should specify paid if it was a pay-per-view. So, you know, let's say it was the $40 or whatever, $50. Are there any ones, obviously WrestleMania you would have, but are what other pay-per-views would you have paid for this year?
Not very many. Normally I wouldn't pay for a pay-per-view necessarily. And it's been a long time since I think they've even had a decent one. I actually really did enjoy Payback. I thought that the matches were well done. The booking was well done. The storyline telling was relatively well done, except for the House of Horrors match. but other than that, everything else was pretty good. You had good setups. You had good matches. But I don't know. I really, honestly, the only things that I normally would pay for would probably be Money in the Bank, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, the major four, and Money in the Bank.
And Roger, how about you?
Mm-hmm. So I would have paid for the Rumble. Going into it, we were excited. Like, I thought, you know, Cena Styles was going to be fantastic. The Rumble is always one of the most entertaining matches of the year. Even Owens Reigns had a chance to be interesting. So I would have paid for that. The Chamber 50-50, because I thought SmackDown did a good enough job to entice me for what they had advertised that I probably would have gotten it for the Chamber. Having seen Orton Harper and how good of a match that was, I certainly would have regretted not seeing that. I would have paid for WrestleMania just because it's WrestleMania and been disappointed as I was for WrestleMania. I wouldn't have paid for Payback. But I would have been disappointed because Payback, like Doug said, was actually a better match than better night than anticipated. Good job on pretty much all of the matches that didn't involve a stupid house. But as I said in our, I think it was our yearly, where I said the biggest disappointment for the WWE has been their big pay-per-views. WrestleMania and SummerSlam have been crap for really, you know, the last three, I think, have been terrible. And it's not like their smaller pay-per-views have really been much better. You know, if you take away the Rumble, I don't know if I can think of when's the last time they had a good quality top-to-bottom pay-per-view? You know, let's just do Payback, which I think was a quality episode of Raw, but name the last good pay-per-view prior to the Rumble. And that's the thing, is that, like, are we talking about, are we going all the way back to Money in the Bank?
Probably.
That was in June, if I'm correct?
July, usually, but...
It was June.
Because Battleground was July. So we're talking about before the brand split. We're talking about 11 months ago is the last time you had a quality pay-per-view besides the Rumble, and you've had at least 14 pay-per-views since then. Without the network, I would not be watching these, because these are just episodes of SmackDown and Raw. And if not, honestly, a lot of episodes of SmackDown have been better than the pay-per-views have.
Yes.
And
I think to your point, too, one of the things I've started thinking about in particular with talking about Raw being 3 hours long is that I almost don't even need to watch Raw anymore. I do, but I probably, if I want to save myself some time, I could just skip Raw and just watch the pay-per-views instead, because I get everything out there. And, you know, realistically, the title's not going to change hand unless it's on a pay-per-view, you know, except for the rare instances that it does. But the pay-per-views, I really think having the long buildup to this, to Payback, was actually really good. I agree with you guys. I had low expectations and it definitely exceeded that, which is nice. Backlash, I mean, that's 6 weeks. That's a 6 week buildup. So they've actually been able to build something to this next pay-per-view for SmackDown, which is really smart. I kind of wish that they went back to the 12 pay-per-view model. You know, you have one pay-per-view a month, but you have, you know, Raw and SmackDown, you know, go back and forth. So you have an 8 week buildup. That would actually make me even more excited to see what's actually going to happen. Just so long as they don't do the constant back and forth of, yeah, these people wrestled four times on Raw this, you know, over the 8 weeks, but we're going to see the final match here, you know, coming up on the Raw pay-per-view. But, you know,
and they continue it on for the next 4 weeks and pay-per-view.
Exactly. And I could go on a rant about that. I'm not going to, but.
Hey, once in a lifetime, you will only see John Cena and The Rock face off once in a lifetime until next year.
Gotta love that booking.
Also, and to like speak to a point of, you know, overexposure, I know they won't go down to pay-per-views, but I would much rather them go to a six pay-per-view format and have special episodes of Raw and SmackDown, where instead of calling it Payback, could just say, hey, this is a Raw from Madison Square Garden, or this is a Raw from the United Center. I don't know what it's called now. That's what it was back in the day. But, you know, have them go to a big venue, you know, every 4 to 5, you know. So that way, instead of just saying that you need to come watch Payback, that, you know, give Raw that kind of feel that we had during the Attitude Era, where if you didn't tune in for a week, you might miss something awesome. A title change is reasonable to happen on Raw because it's been built up as an important version of Raw. Or, you know, you could have some of these gimmick matches, you know, have an ambulance match on Raw and have, you know, that match on Payback. That could have been a great episode of Monday Night Raw. Instead of being a pay-per-view, if that is just something that they had built to and said, hey, in 3 weeks, Roman's coming back to fight Braun and you're going to get Jericho versus Owens too. That's a great episode of Raw. That makes people want to tune in. And when the Raw show comes to Seattle, we're excited to go see Raw as opposed to, oh, we're just basically watching something that's just a build up for the pay-per-view. Because the six pay-per-views that they have sell themselves. You know, the five, and they can do the sixth one, be it Starrcade or whatever, you know, we want to call it. I don't think the casual fan cares about Payback, Great Balls of Fire, Extreme Rules, Backlash. Like those are throwaway shows. So throw them away. And do more specials, use the network for what it is, and make Raw and SmackDown matter more.
And that is a problem.
Would you say make it great again?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, and see, to me, that there is a problem here, because I agree, 12 pay-per-views a year should be what it is, but then you have, like, on a Saturday night, you would have, like, a two-hour special where they're, we'll say, at a house show or something like that, and then they run, like, it's kind of like a mini pay-per-view. And then you can say, well, SmackDown did this, you know, two Saturdays ago, or, hey, on this Saturday night, this house show, this is what's going to happen. And plus, you can also give off the guys from Raw that weekend as well. Just have SmackDown go on the road, have the Raw guys stay at home, have them just come to TV on Monday just to save, you know, rest their guys so they don't get hurt constantly. But instead, they're running the dual house shows, which I think is a problem. And yeah, I still think 12 pay-per-views a year, and then you can have a special, like, we'll say Raw gets special, you know, on odd months, and even month SmackDown gets a special on Saturday nights for 2 hours, and we still can call it a pay-per-view, but instead of making it 3 hours, make it 2 hours, and that's it. You don't even know you need a pre-show. Just go right into the show. Doug?
Sorry.
So
I just had a great idea for a match at Extreme Rules. I think Bray and Finn should start their match on a United flight and end in the arena.
There are so many jokes that you could make. Like, especially, like, I don't even need him to be involved in the match, but, like, have the stewardess walk by and see, like, Jinder Mahal there and just ask him to remove himself from the flight. Like,
you've been randomly selected for a screening.
And then have him go into his entire rant about, like, how you just don't like diversity, and then, like, have them show
it's because I'm rich, isn't it?
Exactly, and they show the TSA line, of course, and it's just him and Shinsuke and you know, all the people who are getting it.
Have Ric Flair just walking around in the background with a robe on.
Say, woo!
I'm pretty sure you don't even have to script that. You can just tell Flair to show up at the arena.
You can actually have him go through. He'll have, like, a machine gun and a bottle of rum and the other, and just walking right through. Like, oh, hey, what's up, Rick? No problem! You know.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo!
Wow.
On a United flight? Oh my gosh, that's a good one.
I think that's a good one to end the show on.
All right, so that's all.
Good night, folks.
Yeah. All right, so that's all the time we have for this month's show. If you're into the Twitter and you follow the show, OffMark86, I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and ending the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Roger K., Doug Hahn, and Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes, and until next time, see you in the ring.